Missouri basketball loses out on two of its biggest known targets in the portal. Plus, what is it going to look like if Jake Garcia is Missouri's starting quarterback this fall? Let's talk about that and more right now on Locked On Mizzou.
You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. And by the way, skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Go to HelloFresh.com/college60 and use code college60 for 60% off plus free shipping. And of course, some not so great news, I suppose, on the court for the Missouri Tigers. And I say suppose because obviously, you know what, if Dennis Gates thought that Caleb Love and Fardaz Amik, I hope I'm saying that correctly, I really don't mean to mispronounce that name, but the former Texas Tech center there, Mr. Amik, I gotta say, I think Missouri is okay without both of these guys. Now, don't get me wrong, Caleb Love, an incredibly talented player, obviously had that big run a couple years ago in March Madness, but otherwise, again, as I've said before on this show, sources in that part of the country are telling me he is not exactly the most missed guy in the world at Chapel Hill. And I'm sure if he had committed to Missouri, I'd be on this program right now talking myself into it about, hey, Dennis Gates, he's the right guy to get the most out of Caleb Love. He'll be playing off the ball more, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? Missouri fans don't have to worry about that. He's following Juwan Howard to Michigan. And by the way, Trey Jackson, former Missouri Tiger, eventually transferred to Seton Hall. Well, he's going to Michigan as well. So Juwan Howard betting some money, I guess, figuratively speaking, on some guys who were highly ranked high school prospects that maybe just haven't quite gotten the most out of their games so far in college. Now, again, to me, Caleb Love, he would have been a nice addition. I don't think he was a guaranteed plus, though. I just wonder how he would have affected chemistry on next year's squad. Certainly the talent is there, but I don't know. There's a lot of 6'4" guards out there who can shoot 30% from downtown. On paper alone, that's just not that big of a loss, in my humble opinion. And as far as the Fardaz Amik, I don't know how to pronounce his name, folks, the center from Texas Tech, I'm sorry, it's a pretty big red flag to me when a big guy is sub 50% shooting and he doesn't shoot three-pointers. If he's always around the basket and he can't make at least half of his field goals, and he's a pretty poor free-throw shooter at that, you know, I just wasn't all that torn out to miss on that kid either. And especially when, again, every single day there are more and more interesting players coming into the transfer portal. Again, as it's been described, these were two of the highest profile known targets for Missouri. We don't know everyone who Missouri is in on, and there are lots of guys in that have publicly expressed that, oh, Missouri has reached out to me. I am going to take a visit to Missouri. Still some really, really interesting guys out there in the portal. Now, again, are we sure those two guys are great players? Again, apparently Dennis Gates thinks so, good enough for me. But on paper, neither one of those guys are a game changer. Again, 6'4" guards who aren't really that great as shooters, big whoop. Rebounders aren't that hard to find either, and I just think the Texas Tech big guy there is really just more of that. Now, Caden Shedrick, on the other hand, the Virginia player who entered his name into the transfer portal, has played 3 years with the Cavaliers, always played about half the minutes, at least last season. But, you know, to me, he's just a more interesting player just on paper. A much higher percentage shooter around the rim and a good foul shooter, too. A classic big guy, by the way, who doesn't really shoot three-pointers. But to me, if Duke is after him, he took an official visit to Duke. He's visiting Texas on the 18th and also Missouri on the 19th. and that's per On3 Sports. Well, that's kind of all I need to know, really. I think he's a much more interesting player than the Texas Tech big guy, I have to say. Caden Shedrick, well, maybe we can steal him from Duke. I don't know. A kid from Holly Springs, North Carolina. It's going to be a tough one, but I'm just saying the point is whether we get that particular player or not, still plenty of options out there for Dennis Gates in Missouri. By the way, just a quick note here. I mentioned that Caden Shedrick is going to be visiting Texas here soon. Well, speaking of Texas and their basketball program, Frank Haith, now maybe the top assistant for the Longhorns. So we'll be seeing maybe some of Coach Haith here come SEC basketball here in a few years. But more to the point, current SEC basketball, Kobe Brown. I've talked a lot lately about how I think he's maybe more likely to enter the NBA draft than some Missouri fans are thinking. I just don't think they're quite considering all of the different angles. Well, here's another angle for you, and this is one I'd actually forgotten about completely. And actually last season, Jabari Walker, a player from Colorado, former Buff, taken with the second to last pick of the 2022 draft, 57th overall. Well, he actually ended up getting guaranteed money, up to $4.7 million in guaranteed money after putting up impressive numbers in the summer league this past offseason. So that throws yet another wrench into the whole thing. Kobe Brown can play himself into millions of dollars in multiple different ways. And again, as I've said before, I think he owes it to himself at the very least to go through the entire draft process. And I've got to think the people, the NBA officials and coaches, well, when they meet Kobe Brown, that's going to be a plus for him. They're going to like him as a young man. So I do think there's a definite chance that Kobe's stock rises at least to the point where, again, he goes to the NBA. I really don't know what's going to happen. If I were him, I'd probably be leaning that way. But as a fan, obviously, I hope he comes back to Mizzou. You know what? Let's transition to football for a little bit. I've been talking a lot of hypothetical scenarios at the quarterback position for Missouri lately. Well, it's Jake Garcia's turn today. What if the former five-star player becomes the starter for Mizzou this fall? Let's talk about that. But first, I want to tell you that grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back, baby. And there's no better place to get in on the Major League Baseball action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. All you have to do is go to fanduel.com/lockedon to sign up, place your first bet, and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win. And hey, this evening, the Cardinals in Coors Field, minus 146 favorite, Steven Matz getting the ball. I don't have a lot of strong opinion there, but if you do, now's your chance to get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Again, that's fanduel.com/lockedon to sign up. FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball. So, Jake Garcia, named the Missouri starting quarterback, hypothetically speaking, for this segment. What exactly does that look like? Well, first of all, in terms of roster shakeout, this is a really interesting one to me because there's actually a chance for something you never see, at least an argument here for quarterback roster stasis. In other words, there's almost a quarterback transfers almost every year from every single program for obvious reasons. It's the one position where, well, there's one guy who just plays basically the entire time. But if you think about this, obviously Garcia's your starter. Hey, he's happy in that scenario. Sam Horn, obviously less happy, but how much is he into baseball? That's the question, because I'm not sure, and I've said this before last week, I'm not sure he has a bigger platform to potentially play football and baseball than he has at Missouri. Is there another program out there who's willing to let him do both? Do they even have does Ohio State, for instance, even have a decent baseball team? I really don't know off the top of my head, but obviously I don't know that Ohio State's looking for Sam Horn to transfer their football team either. He hasn't proven anything yet. But, so, there is a chance that he sticks around. What about Brady Cook? Well, again, as I said last week, once again, sorry to repeat myself for those of you who listen to every single episode, but I think Brady Cook is probably a ride or die black and gold kind of guy. It just seems like he's going to tough it out here. And again, he can certainly transfer down and find himself a starting job somewhere. I have no question about that, but it's not going to be at a high major program. It's certainly not going to be at an SEC program. So I think if you're Brady Cook, I think you're probably staying on the roster in this scenario. At least there's a very good chance of it. And of course, Jabari Johnson, the true freshman, I think he doesn't really expect to play this year, or else he would have probably enrolled for spring ball. So that one kind of answers itself. Now, as for what this offense would actually look like under Jake Garcia, again, another unique scenario under him, because I think this would be the most unique of the choices. He doesn't really run the ball at all if you look at his statistics at the University of Miami. Now, the arm is very much real. That's why he was a five-star prospect. I'm just really curious to see what the intangibles for Garcia actually looks like when he's playing for hopefully a workable offense, because last season at times Missouri didn't look like a workable offense, but compared to the Miami Hurricanes, they might as well have been the greatest show on turf, because Miami really fell apart around him last season, cost their coach his job, all kinds of stuff. So be nice to see what Garcia looks like under a different scenario. Again, the arm very real, but the fact that he can't run, isn't very mobile in the pocket, at least seemingly either. Again, we'll have to see what the intangibles look like at Missouri, but obviously this coming season, last season, offensive line play was a borderline disaster for the Tigers. It really was. And it's going to be really important regardless of who is the quarterback this year. Pass protection is always important, obviously, but I think it's going to be absolutely paramount for Garcia to fully succeed. Like, they can't just be okay. They can't just be mediocre at pass protection if Garcia is going to be out there and you want to get the most out of him. They need to be above average, I think, at the very least, because, again, he's not going to be able to buy himself those extra seconds. It sure doesn't seem. So, with all that being said, how much then does preference factor in here? I think Eli Drinkwitz has shown a willingness to play the quote-unquote pro-style quarterback or the quote-unquote dual-threat type quarterback. I say that because a little bit sarcastically, because I've often found those two distinctions are a little bit silly and almost kind of a cop-out for high school recruiting rankings. But regardless, Drinkwitz has shown that he'll throw a guy out there who doesn't run very much or a guy who will run it quite a bit. Somebody like Brady Cook will run. Connor Bazelak, not so much. Well, I don't know. How about Kirby Moore? What's his preference? The new Missouri offensive coordinator. How much is his personal preference going to factor in here? Does he need a guy who can keep the ball on the back end of a read option play? Does he need a guy who can buy some time outside of the pocket? That type of deal. Well, if that's really a huge factor for him, then Jake Garcia is going to have to really blow people away with his ability inside the pocket. And by the way, speaking of that Missouri offensive line, I think it's pretty clear that Drinkwitz and the new offensive line coach Brandon Jones are going to be looking for some new bodies at the offensive line position. The portal is about to open up again, and I believe maybe in the next week or so. In fact, I don't have an exact date for you there. Apologies there. But one thing, Luke Griffin and Bobby Lawrence, now, not officially, but pretty much officially, former Missouri Tigers at this point. Both of those two former linemen have announced they're going to be entering the portal when it opens back up. And, well, I kind of liked Luke Griffin's physicality. He started a few games here and there for Missouri, but obviously it never totally worked out for either one of those guys in a gigantic way. But I think, obviously, offensive line is going to be a big priority for Missouri in the portal. How successful they'll actually be in the portal to get plug-and-play offensive linemen. Boy, that seems like those guys are going to be few and far between from my experience. But hey, you never know. Maybe we'll We got lucky once with Mike Maietti, I'd say, the former Rutgers center, Jersey Mike, as the guys like to call him. He was a heck of a grab for Missouri, no question about that. I just think, if anything, Missouri fans should realize how unique and special of a player and transfer he was, because I just don't know that there are that many Mike Maiettis generally out there in the portal this time of year. You know, folks, obviously this is a basketball and football show primarily. I have to say I've been taking in some other type of football lately. Ted Lasso in particular. This may be the last season of the soccer show on Apple TV Plus, but I have a pitch for season 4, and it's for Ted Lasso to move to Columbia, Missouri. So I want to tell you all about that right after these quick words. So for those of you who are uninitiated on the Jason Sudeikis vehicle, Ted Lasso, yes, the titular Ted Lasso. This is sort of in season 1, it's kind of like if you've ever seen Major League, right? The owner of the Cleveland Indians, she wants the team to lose, essentially. Well, similarly in Ted Lasso, the owner of AFC Richmond, a soccer club over in England, a fictional soccer club, by the way. Well, she wants them to lose as well. She hates her ex-husband. She's inherited the team. And in order to try to tank the team, she hires Ted Lasso, who is a highly successful American football coach at what is apparently like a Division II level, something like that. So let's say he's from Kansas, by the way. So I don't know. He's a North Dakota State level of success in Kansas. Fictionally, we're talking here. So here's my thing. Now that Ted Lasso has brought AFC Richmond up to great standards, he's won over his erstwhile hateful owner, and now she loves him too and wants the team to win, all that good stuff. Well, rumor is that they're wrapping up Ted Lasso this season. Well, here's my pitch. Let's say AFC Richmond wins the Premier League here, season 3. Ted has openly been talking about, why am I still here? Eventually, he's got to go back to America, right? Well, he needs a job, though, doesn't he? Unfortunately, Missouri didn't have a great season in 2023. They need a new coach, and who better than Ted Lasso? Yes, back to the Midwest, back to American football, back to his roots, a show set in beautiful, bucolic Columbia, Missouri. And of course, he brings Coach Beard with him. He brings Roy with him, too, for all types of comic relief here in town. And hey, why not Keeley, too? We need a good contrast. We need a little bit of Cockney in our accents as well. So to me, that's the pitch. College football, Missouri, and the ultimate underdog story, the perfect vehicle for Ted Lasso, season 4. What do you think? I think I got the Chamber of Commerce and the mayor on board already. But you know what? Thanks for joining me today on Locked On Mizzou and indulging that silly little segment. And thanks, as always, for being with me right here. By the way, check out the Locked On newsletter, by the way, especially NFL draft season. This thing is going to be really helpful for you. I promise you that. Go to lockedonpodcasts.com/newsletter to learn more, or scan your QR code on the screen. So until next time, I'm John Miller, and this has been Locked On Mizzou.